Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world's most pointless podcast. Welcome to the Audio Asylum. Welcome, Avengers Assemble. I mean, no, wrong thing. Welcome to the Hall of Justice. I am your host, Joe, and I am joined by my fellow comrades, Greaves and Anthony. Greaves, tell them what we're doing here today. Spoiler alert, we're not talking about cocky this time.
Yeah, how's it going, folks? It's good to be back here. We're going to take a little break from talking about human excrement in our irregular shitting patterns. And poopy massacres and all this shit. Today, we're going to do a special episode of the Audio Asylum for you comic book fans and movie fans alike. Today, we are going to get down to the nitty-gritty, and we are going to cover the DC Extended Universe up until this point. We're going to chronicle the movies, because in 10 short days, finally, HBO Max is dropping the long-awaited, very high-in-demand Snyder Cut, so you can finally get the movie that we were supposed to see 3.5 fucking years ago. We're finally going to get it now. We're going to go from Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman, Justice League, issues with Warner Bros. And what they did to fucking Mr. Snyder's cut of the movie, asshole Joss Whedon, and what we expect from this big superhero cinematic extravaganza that will take up 4 hours of our lives, which is perfectly okay by us.
Yes. Just take your phone and bring it down to a lagoon on the 18th and shoot it maybe a few times, and just get a new cell phone the next day. Stop whatever you're doing on that day.
Bingo. So, Anthony, I'm going to let you kick this one off. We're going to start. Well, first of all, what I thought we should do is we should go back to the humble beginnings of
DC movies.
DC movies, of DC characters on screen.
Okay.
Ugh.
Now, yeah, but
I know a lot of motherfuckers love it, but
for the sake of nostalgia and for the things that, like, I don't know.
And the shark repellent.
All right. This is gonna get into a little fucking something, but let's do it. That's why we're here. You look back to the history of DC characters on. They were DC Comics was before fucking Timely Comics and Marvel, just before it. If you go back to the early 40s, you had serial films of Batman and Robin. And then, of course, you wouldn't see Batman in live action again until the 1960s TV show with Adam West. Which Anthony has a major, gigantic issue with.
I don't have an issue with it. I just think it's fucking definitely comical. They definitely didn't think, how funny is this going to be in 20 years when they did it?
No, they knew what they were doing at the time. Because if you're climbing up, if you're scaling alongside a building and Sammy Davis Jr. opens the window... So anyway.
But if you're Batman, you should be able to fucking, like, crack the neck of a great white shark, man. I don't know. I'm breaking balls, obviously.
Okay. So you had, then eventually in the 70s, we would have Superman, Christopher Reeves.
We're skipping over Superman and the Mole Men.
Superman and the Mole Men. Well, that gentleman's name was George Reeves, I believe.
You gotta enlighten
1951.
I have no fucking idea what that even is.
Two Reeves have played Superman in the past. I am also forgetting about the Superman TV show. That is something that existed as well. So we can't forget about that. I'm an idiot for actually totally leaving that out.
Is that why End the Mole Men could just be added to any title and you have a whole new fucking segment?
I gotta be honest, I haven't seen that. I just went based off the interwebs.
So, basically, you had that, too, as well as the Batman serials. Then you had that version of Superman. And then Christopher Reeves. Okay, yeah. Superman and the Mole Men was a movie, but it was also a show. George Reeves played Superman and Clark Kent.
Oh, shit.
So, two Reeves have played Superman. George and Christopher have worn the cape. And then we get into the 70s, where you get to Mr. Christopher Reeves playing the Man of Steel. Then, of course, you get to
Adam. We have the Adam West Batman show.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, that's the 60s show. Then you have, well, I'm just talking about screen general, whether it was a movie.
On screen, got it.
Then you go to 1989.
Live action, yeah.
You go to 1989, and of course you have Batman. Tim Burton's classic, Jack Nicholson, and Michael Keaton.
Can we start off talking about that, like legit, like before? Or do you want to continue in what you're saying on like the lineage? Do you want to like get the chronologics down, or do you want to start talking shit?
Well, I'm just, I think we talk about like just the beginnings of it, and a lot of people don't appreciate these things.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like a lot of these movies.
A lot of people don't appreciate these things because it happened in a way simpler time.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, too. When motherfuckers were sleeping in two different beds and they were still married on TV.
When I was a kid, I was introduced to the 60s Batman show. Of course, my favorite Batman was the animated series. The animated series was our thing.
Kevin Conroy.
And then you had, of course, Tim Burton's Batman. If you had anybody who was a child in 89, your uncle, my cousin, you had
my brothers,
your brothers and your sister.
I had a vast amount of Batman animated series action figures and stuff.
You had somebody who was showing you that movie. You already had the cartoon show running. So that holds a special place in our hearts. But some people don't appreciate it as much until, of course, you cross the line of technology advancing, gigantic fucking multi-million dollar budgets, and all this fucking shit.
Tim Burton knew what he was doing. I love that shit. I love the idea that fucking half of Gotham City is a painted background. And it's just like,
well, that's just matte paintings. That's what they couldn't do with fucking computers.
But you would I would never have known it.
No.
I mean, I know it now, but like, yo, you look at that shit and it's like, it goes on forever.
Well, that's like The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, see, I didn't even know.
When you look, The Wizard of Oz, that's when the yellow brick road is there and you see Oz in the back. That was a matte painting, but there's depth to it because they're going down a...
Well, yeah.
And at a certain point, it ends. And so it's the same thing. It's the technique of matte paintings. A lot of the things you saw in Star Wars, like when you see 150 stormtroopers, about 10 and the rest is a matte painting.
Oh. Yeah,
so they paint
I get it.
And put a clear thing with a painting on it over the frame, and that would give the effect.
I see.
So that's what they were doing in those movies as well.
I feel like every time I talk to you, Graves, I learn something new.
Yeah, I feel like that also.
And that's not a bad thing at all.
No, my man definitely should teach, like, fucking social history.
I wish I knew more, but that's...
Well,
that's
what makes you as
life.
Good as you are. Wishing to know more is how you get to know as much as you do now.
So we had these humble beginnings. We had these movies that hit the nostalgia mark. Some of them are, some of them we love. Some of them we don't love. Some of it hate it all together. But that brings us up to the modern day.
Well, continue after 89.
Then we saw Batman Returns. Then we saw Batman Forever. Then we saw Batman and Robin. Then we saw the plan.
Smallville had something to do with that in between there. I read the stupid
no,
ass.
No, because before Smallville, we were supposed to get a Superman movie.
With Nick Cage.
With Nicolas
yeah,
Cage.
Yeah, that got... So if you're listening and you're like, what? What are you talking about? Nicolas Cage was supposed to play Superman? There's a movie called The Death of Superman Lives.
Watch that. Highly recommended.
Yeah. It's fucky.
Some things are ridiculous, but when you watch that documentary, by the end of it, you go, you kind of wish it happened.
Yeah. Honestly.
And a lot of people will go, a lot of those who don't know, Nicolas Cage is Superman. What the fuck is that? Let me tell you something. There was certainly some things that were dumb.
I think
he gets into a battle with in the Fortress of Solitude with like a fucking polar bear.
Oh,
some things are fucking ridiculous, but the villain was supposed to be Brainiac.
Turns a polar bear into a giant steak if he really wanted to.
There was supposed to be a giant spider. This dude was fascinated with giant spiders.
Yes.
Where did those come from in the DC lore?
So Brainiac was going to be the villain, and when you look at the concept art and you look at the designs and a lot of the ideas that they had,
it wasn't bad.
It looked really fucking cool.
It wasn't bad at all.
But, so there's a part of you that wished that could happen. Then we cross the line into the 2000s. We haven't seen a Superman film since Christopher Reeves. Then you get Smallville on TV. And then they say, hey, we've gone like 8 years without a Batman movie. What the fuck do we do now? And then Warner Brothers and Christopher Nolan come out with the critically acclaimed Dark Knight trilogy.
Personally, one of my favorite things ever.
And one of my favorite things ever. And of course, you get to the final movie, which I have a gigantic gripe with. And I've been over this 1,000 fucking times.
A trilogy is good as its ending.
I'm just going to say this, and then I think we can get to 2013's Man of Steel. The thing about the final movie in the trilogy is, I guess they like this idea. Now, Batman is always about not necessarily passing the mantle off, but recruiting new people into his group of crime fighters. In this one, as you all know, he does just that. But quits. If people think that is a poetic ending, if people think that's the way the Dark Knight should go out, I sit there and say, one of the best Batman stories ever told is Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns.
Facts.
Yeah.
Because he's gone for about a decade. Mind you, after about 25 years of fighting crime in Gotham. But decides that things have gotten so fucking bad, I have to come back. I'm physically shot. I need cortisone in my knees to move.
Mentally,
shit. I'm about 55 years old. I'm totally mentally broken from all the shit I've seen and dealt with. He comes back into the fight. Christopher Nolan's Batman is only Batman for about 8 years and quits when he's technically still in his prime.
Yeah. And by the way, Batman is not in a lot of The Dark Knight Rises.
And Batman is not a quitter.
Yeah, that too.
If there's one thing Batman is going to do, even if... Then you go to Batman Beyond. Even if he is physically incapable, he will recruit somebody else and still be the brains behind the operation. Yes.
He becomes Alfred.
So anyway, those movies, I do love them. I think I've talked a lot with you, Joe, before, personally, and it might seem that I don't like them. I do like them.
No, there's just definitely a lot of flaws.
The biggest one to put the spotlight on is the fact that I saw you there. I saw you there.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, I saw you there, sir, having a mimosa. And then and then it happens. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out.
That's your biggest... My biggest problem is Orphan Cop.
No, my biggest problem is the fact that Batman quit.
My biggest problem is that I actually thought that the fucking villain was incredible until his demise is met by a motorcycle. That bothered me. Because they revamped a fucking character that is important in the gap bridging between the Batman that is the Gotham City Batman and the Gotham's and the fucking the Justice League Batman. Because that's how he starts dealing with superhuman fucking people.
Are you talking about the way Bane went out?
Yeah, I love Bane. I think Bane's like an incredible character, and they did a really good job with him until...
Yeah, man. But I mean, we got the trilogy, and then we get to... I mean, we could just skim over Green Lantern. And
we could skim right over the Green Lantern. Yeah. We don't even have to go there. But let's...
No, what? What was made? That wasn't even made.
But after this very lengthy introduction going... I didn't mean to take it into my gripe with Batman quitting, but the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, and we will get started, Batman doesn't fucking quit. Before Batman quits, he will die. And he didn't die. He lived. Some days you just don't know what to do. You just can't get rid of a bomb. Well, he got rid of that bomb. And when he got rid of that bomb, he fucking quit and retired to Italy. And that's whack. So Christopher Nolan and
that is very whack. That's what Hannibal Lecter did.
Thank you guys for taking an incredibly great trilogy and taking a giant fat shit on it. Now, that's just my opinion. If you're for the poetics, that might have been a beautiful, fitting ending for The Dark Knight. Not for me. I'm sorry.
So we get to 2013.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this thing.
And we get to a movie that Graves, you and me talk a lot about this just in personal conversation that gets a lot of shit, and we don't understand why it does. Man of Steel, which I think is a fucking movie that I can watch whenever and enjoy it every single
time. It's a masterpiece of a superhero movie.
I personally think it is one of my favorite superhero movies.
I gotta say.
Anthony, take this one because I know you really, really love this movie a lot. So take this one.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to say before you start, Henry Cavill, perfect choice. Take it.
Perfect.
Oh, I mean, shit, dude. That motherfucker, I can't even, I don't know. That's a character, honestly, that I thought, like, you want to go back to the appreciation. I maybe didn't appreciate the Christopher Reeves movies because I'm used to, like, the animated series version of Superman where he's,
once again,
like,
underrated
more
version
evolved.
Of the character.
Well, that's exactly what I think Man of Steel went with, to be honest with you, because that's a character that didn't really make that much sense to me until this movie. And I mean, that goes also because I didn't really watch it. I mean, I didn't really read enough comic books, but they take the, you know, the fucking boy in Kansas story, and they really, really make it into a point where it's like, he had the best of the best in terms of raising, genetics. You want to talk about the fucking the what is it, the core, the what is it, the fucking skull thing that had like everybody's DNA basically in it? That I thought was cool in the intro of the movie. It had Russell Crowe as my man Kal-El.
Yeah, hell yeah, I was very high on the Russell Crowe train.
Or Jar-El. I know I fuck up those names all the time because I would fuck up real names. But I mean, that movie was just, I don't know, the establishment.
That thing is beautiful too.
They showed you Krypton and, like, it in its, like, entirety before it fucking collapses. They show you, which I thought that opening scene was great because, one, you don't really see, like, that's my big gripe, I guess, with stuff like Star Wars and shit. You see, like, a standard of sci-fi and it's kind of meeting it. You never fucking saw Krypton in this movie. Like, it's completely different.
Yeah, I gotta say the intro to the movie is fucking great. Do you think, me and Greg say this a lot in private conversation, I think a lot of people just don't have the patience to go through the thorough DC storytelling. I think that's where people fucking bitch about the movie because they just want, give me a fucking 10-minute origin story and then just give me hit. And I think that's why certain people don't like it.
You have to develop the character.
Exactly.
Even if it's a character that's existed in comic books for 80 fucking years, you still have to develop him on screen.
Same shit to even, I'm sorry to bring it back
into
the, because
it's one man's vision. And Scott Snyder is a fucking visionary.
Yeah.
So if he's looking at the pages of the comics throughout fucking 8 decades or what have you, he's going to sit there and go, well, I have the idea. This is the direction I want to take it. And we have the fucking technology to visually make it happen. As to where nobody had that before.
And if you look at fucking Sam Raimi in the early Spider-Man movies, a big fucking cool part of not just his origin story of him, you know, becoming a moral, just a moral compass as a superhero, but my man's like a fucking, yeah, I'm like losing my train of thought. I'm retarded.
But honestly, I just thought the movie was great. I think that personally, that they did a perfect job, like you said, Graves, of just telling the origin story and letting you get to know Kal-El.
Here's the thing.
And
up and away way.
If you haven't read the comics and you haven't seen him on screen since, oh, we forgot about god-awful Superman Returns from 2005. Okay. We mowed over fucking Green Lantern. That sucked. And Superman fucking Returns historically sucked
terrible,
dick, too.
Yeah.
But the last time you'd seen him on screen before that was Christopher Reeves, and then you had shitty Superman Returns. It's like, how can I make this character interesting again? I guess this goes to your point. To the average moviegoer who's just like, oh, Superman movie. The last one was shit. Allow Zack Snyder to bless you with this fucking masterpiece of a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's.
But also, it has to do, though, but it also got, like, critically fucking, like, it got a lot of hate because a lot of people were like, oh, it's not on the same par as Christopher Reeves as Superman. And
but I feel like comparing...
You can't.
You can't.
No, you can't.
That's like that, comparing Batman Begins to...
You can't.
To Shark Repellent.
Like, yeah. It's every director is going to give a different vision, and I personally think Zack Snyder crushed it.
He's a visionary.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, he's a fucking visionary.
I think I have no complaints about Man of Steel at all. You and me talk about the big complaint that the internet and people have, the snapping...
Kills,
of
yeah.
Zod's neck.
That's the big thing when they Graves compare.
You describe it better than I do.
Okay. I don't mean to call anybody a dummy, but if there's any dummies out there listening to the podcast that didn't like the ending of this movie, let me put it in perspective. You were an alien from a dead planet who was sent here. You have one of a few surviving people of the same race. He comes here to say, join us or else your people that you have lived your entire life loving and now that you protect will die. He tries to have an epic fucking battle with you in Metropolis, destroy half the city because at the end of the day, you're both superpower beings. You fucking go through a building, guess what? It's coming down.
Yeah, exactly.
So they destroy more than half of Metropolis. No, excuse me, virtually all of Metropolis. Then it comes to the final standoff. Family of five or so got him in a fucking headlock. Bend to my will, Kal-El, or I'll fry this family. Is he gonna let this human family die in front of him?
Exactly.
He learned to be a human. He learned to love Earth and love these people. He has sworn now to protect them from this intergalactic evil threat. What do you expect him to do? Not wrench on his neck, crack it, and kill him? Oh no, just let him fry the family. And then, in sense, destroy the whole essence of the character.
Exactly.
That he is a good person who is trying to stop this threat. He does not share the same ideals.
Like, what else was he supposed to do?
What the fuck was he
supposed to do? What else was he supposed to do?
Oh, Superman doesn't kill. Look, Superman doesn't kill a burglar.
Yeah.
Exactly. A guy robbing a bank.
Another human.
Yeah, you dummies.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
Like,
but when you're talking about an alien threat from a dead planet who is looking to come here and fucking literally recreate the race through genetic fucking mutation and science, you're telling me he's just supposed to let that shit happen?
Yeah, exactly.
You people are a little ridiculous. Yeah, I don't think you understand the
character. I don't think you saw the same movie that we saw either, because at the end of the day, like, the dude proves himself before all of this to the point where, you know, he's in a police station. He could kill all of the cops. He's literally got handcuffs on.
That scene alone
lets you know.
He says, if I wanted to break the fuck out of here and kill you, I would, but I'm trying to prove to, basically in layman's terms,
yeah,
I'm trying to prove to you people I'm a good guy, so I'm going to sit here in handcuffs like a fucko.
No, but that's 100% to what you're going
that's
at. He's not going to kill a burglar. He's really not even going to kill, like, a fucking president or, a jihadi leader. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my man is sympathetic towards humans. So at the end of the day, if you really want to take that, like, any sort of way, he could have learned more about his race.
It's the same analogy, or like, if we're comparing, let's say it wasn't Zod in this movie. Like, let's say we switched the ending up completely in the villain. Let's say it was fucking Doomsday or fucking Brainiac or whatever. Like, Superman's not, like you said, he's not gonna kill them to save the world. Like,
but what's cool even about Zod is it makes it like a fucking watchable RPG movie where it's like, this guy has the choice. Right now,
yeah.
He had the choice to basically say, you know, these people, while they are weak and I should protect them, a lot of them are pieces of shit, but...
90% of Superman's villains, if we're getting real here, he has to kill them.
He has to kill them.
Yeah, like, there's no...
No.
Batman's
villains...
Maybe he doesn't have to kill Lobo.
Yeah, like, you know
But
what
that's
I mean?
Batman's shtick. Batman is mentally fucked up to the point where if he doesn't kill... I mean, if he kills certain villains, he will become them.
Speaking of Batman...
That's important to know that that's a big difference between Batman as a fucking character and every other character in the Justice League.
Okay.
Speaking of Batman, you want to get to what happens after Man of Steel?
Oh, you want to talk about the granddaddy movie of them all?
Yeah, the movie that you and me have been talking about a lot recently.
You want to talk about the biggest battle between two characters in a movie ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Before I go to it, I do just want to say, I've stated this opinion like off the show a bunch of times. I will save everybody the argument. Yes, there should have been a Man of Steel 2 before.
Allow Dawn Joe to segue you into this motherfucker right here.
Or there should have even been like a solo Batman movie with Ben Affleck.
I have said it ad nauseum in my conversations with friends and outsiders, and I've been to Comic Cons, and I've said it ad nauseum. Yes, there should have been a Superman 2 before there was a Dawn of Justice, and maybe a solo Batman movie in between. But then again, I retract the solo Batman movie argument, because let's face it, everybody, we know who the fuck Batman is. And then we get into Man of Steel 3 years later. Before, I'll say it again, there was 3 years. You could have did a fucking Superman 2.
You had plenty of time to make two movies.
Plenty of time. And I'll address the other elephant in the room also. Yes, Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor.
A lot of people just don't like Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay. So the movie we're talking about here, it starts off with Man of Steel, and the movie that Joe is referring to is the mixed feeling movie known as Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. This is, and I'm pretty sure to this day, the most anticipated superhero movie
of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about the first time in a live-action movie these two characters are going to come together. And we asked, how, why, and how is this going to end? We start the movie off with a little introduction to the Caped Crusader. His backstory that we all know. We don't need to go there. Yeah. Unless you live under a rock. You get a quick little montage of the fucking...
They kept it short.
They kept it short and sweet.
Yeah.
Right. Equivalent to mentioning Uncle Ben and getting bit by the spider in Civil War.
That's funny. Yeah. No, but I was just going to say that. Yeah, they really don't need to go through the origin story nine times.
We do not need to fucking see it again.
How many different dudes are we going to see crying in a fucking bad outfit?
We know. So that's how the movie starts off. You get a little fucking, you know, up. You know the story, a little brush up. So basically, what they try to tell you is that his gripe with the Man of Steel is that he sees two aliens fighting in the sky, a big threat to the world. Zod is dead. Everybody loves Superman. He saved the world. Batman isn't too quick to buy that shit. Yeah.
But
that's his whole character, too. I'm sorry, keep going.
Oh, no, it's okay, but I just wanted to say I do love the scene where Bruce Wayne saves the kid. Shit's falling.
Absolutely beautiful.
Also, Ben Affleck's the man. Cool. Fuck everybody.
I think he did a great job. In terms of, if you want to break it down into different versions, combat-wise, that was the best on-screen Batman, like, doing a fucking fight scene.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
That's something that we got to spend a minute on. Basically, the story is simple. They have never met. They don't know each other.
Shit's going on in one dude's world.
It was a pretty creative way to bring them together. Start the beef.
Yeah, I thought the movie started was clever. It was straight to the point. Why does he not like this guy? He doesn't trust him. Bam. Also, Wonder Woman is in this movie. We'll get to that, too.
I also think, like, the big Marvel versus DC argument has to do with the fact that, like, if Marvel did the same exact thing, people wouldn't have really complained. But that's maybe just my own opinion. I feel like everybody has a much higher standard for Batman and Superman, when in reality it's kind of...
Well, you got to think about the marketing of this movie. You got to think about the hype behind this movie.
There was a lot of hype.
It was definitely underwhelming to certain people. To me at first, until I saw the fucking the director's cut version of it, and you see how it's not edited to the accordance of Warner Brothers and these people that try to make it, oh, yeah, we got to just assume our entire audience is stupid, so you got to fucking do it this way.
I think the plot of having Lex Luthor there and the reason
why... The framing of Superman.
Yes, exactly. I wanted to get into that, but I feel like you're better at describing plots than I am. I feel like I stutter over shit, so if you could describe that one better than I can.
So what they try to tell you, those who are listening that are familiar, is they try to tell you that it's the classic story of basically Lex Luthor is a human being that is fucking jealous of Superman. That is the antithesis of his entire fucking character.
And I think what's cool too is how they bring him into Dawn of Justice, because he's kind of the evil version of Batman. If Batman wasn't a good person, he'd be Lex Luthor.
He's trying to... Right. So there's that dynamic. But basically what he's trying to do is he's trying to frame Superman. He fried these fucking people in this fucking third world country. He did all this shit. He forges the bullet. Tries to make it seem like this is the regime of the fucking... the man from the sky. All this crazy shit. Batman already believes that this guy... because Batman is not going to go, oh, look at that, he saved the world. Batman's going to go, no, that motherfucker is like him.
Can take us out.
He wanted to prove that he had a bigger dick than Zod, and now he's going to fucking take over. Exactly. Because Batman's not a fucking idiot.
Yeah, Batman's like, if this guy wanted to, he could zap us all to shit.
Right.
And I'm not going to let that
shit
happen.
And he says that like 5 times in the fucking movie, because... and it also goes to show you the psychological state of Batman at this point.
Yeah. And never mind the fact that that's part of the character, because half of his utility belt, when he's in the Justice League, is a way to put down half of the Justice League.
Yeah, just in case they fucking went rogue, which goes to show you he doesn't trust his fucking closest friends, because you never know what the fuck could happen. This is a human person with superior intellect around a bunch of extraordinary people.
I thought the scene with Alfred is very good when he first is describing Alfred, the big problem with Superman. And he says, you know, how many good people are left? How many stay that way? It shows you, like you said, Bruce Wayne, Batman's mental state at this point. And also, I think it's important to touch upon this, how in that scene, if you look behind Bruce, and the scene starts this way as he's looking at Robin's suit.
You've dealt with the criminally insane for 20 years.
Yeah, the Robin.
You have fought clay men, cat women, superpower steroid guys, crocodiles in the sewer, and not only that, you saw your young ward get fucking murdered in front of you with a crowbar, and there was nothing you can do about it.
So I appreciate, I'm somebody who as a Batman fan appreciated that they put that context.
That was a little callback, yes.
Yes, I was very happy
to
about
a classic
that.
Comic story.
Exactly.
So you're looking at this, and to not understand the mental state of Batman at this point, he is completely and totally unhinged, because now this is the breaking point. Now this is a threat to the world that we've never seen before. Everything else is small time compared to this. How in the fuck am I going to react to this by just being like, yeah, good on you, red cape guy?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to fucking do that. He's fucking Batman. Yeah. It's not a dick measuring contest between Batman and Superman.
Exactly.
This guy is literally just going, I'm not going to let this fucking happen, so I'm going to do whatever I can.
Yeah.
Lex finds the kryptonite, orchestrates this whole fucking battle between them. It's a very, very well-told story. When you go back and you watch the director's cut with the additional 30 minutes that's laden throughout the movie, they explain the framing in a so much better way.
Yes.
100%.
The woman that lied to Congress.
Yeah.
Because she was fucking basically threatened by Luthor. Say this. I give you this. Keep your mouth shut. My boy in the fucking wheelchair.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I almost forget about that
guy. Yeah, in the fucking wheelchair made of lead so this motherfucker couldn't see the bomb. Blows up the fucking Capitol building.
Jeez.
That was cool. That was fucking awesome,
dude,
I thought.
When you look at a villain... And I want to, again, go back to Lex Luthor and focus on him and really analyze that character.
And how finite his abilities are, other than being a genius.
He is one of the best villains in a superhero movie ever. The reason that people don't like it is because it's Jesse Eisenberg, and he was quirky.
Yeah.
And maybe a little socially awkward. Maybe even on the spectrum.
And it also comes to the fact that it was a little complicated. So all those things together is like,
But you can explore these things. Like, you, like, and I say on the spectrum because he's kind of very, like, idiot, savant, mastermind.
He's evil scientist.
He's fucking...
Should have been given the chance, but wasn't. So he's going to show how he chooses who gets
Well, it's not that he wasn't given the chance. He was given every chance. And superior intellect and his father's fortune.
Yeah. So I was going to say,
but
more,
he is crazy.
Yeah, it's more moo-hoo-ha-ha.
Yeah.
Fucking, I'm an evil scientist. Yeah. And I'm going to fuck with these two.
Yes. And,
to get what I want.
And somebody will go, but Lex Luthor's crazy to begin with. They wrote him to be a little bit more than one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't just like, fuck you, Superman.
Yeah. Fuck you, Superman. I wish I was like you, but my dick is small.
Yeah.
And I can't fuck like you. Like, that's because that's basically what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I have
exactly.
to make a mechanical suit to try to fight you.
Yeah.
But this guy sat there and said, nah, fuck that. I'm gonna
play chess. Fuck this whole shit up.
Fuck it. It's genius.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The depiction of Lex Luthor in this fucking movie was fucking... He's one of the best things, whether people want to admit it or not, he's one of the best things about the overall fucking story.
In that movie.
And the fight. And it's brilliantly done. Yeah.
And it's also cool in the fact that, like, he's not actually crazy because all of this, like, outer-worldly shit that's giving him messages and shit is actually coming.
It's real.
Yeah.
Right. It is real.
He knows what
the
fuck's going on.
He does.
He's the first motherfucker that, if anything, like, that's... He's, like, trying to get humans to bow.
Yeah.
He technically knows what's up before Batman even knows.
The hero didn't find about the threat.
Exactly.
The villain found out about the real threat. He's coming. Ding, 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 ding. It's fucking Darkseid. It ain't even Steppenwolf. That's the thing that I think...
Yeah,
maybe that's open
that
for
too.
Interpretation, but no, he was definitely talking about fucking Darkseid.
No, but
yeah, exactly.
But that's what makes that movie fucking weird, because it's like... He's talking about Darkseid and you don't see him. It's like, that's like, what?
Well, because like you said, it could be open to interpretation, but is it really? Because look at the movie we're going to get next week.
Yes, when he's sitting in the end of the movie, when he's sitting in the pool of baked beans and he's looking up at Steppenwolf, he's seeing Steppenwolf, but the bigger threat, Steppenwolf is a fucking crony.
To something else.
To fucking the big bad fucking motherfucker Darkseid. Overall... We've skimmed through the movie. It's a fucking incredible film.
If you haven't seen the uncut version of it, please do your fucking self a favor. If you have HBO Max, go watch it, now.
It's a movie that you gotta watch a couple of more times to really appreciate it. Like you said, the director's cut. Yeah.
You and me have both said that when we first saw it, we both were like,
I liked it, but did I see a lot in the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, but that's a whole other fucking
but
podcast.
That's Hollywood. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the uncut version of the movie is great. To go off of what Anthony said, the fucking... I don't want to spend too long on this movie because we got to get other shit, but the fucking Batman fight scene in the warehouse, dude.
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
What exactly.
Jesus.
That's what I was like, we'll take a whole portion.
Christ.
Yeah, let's take the good last portion of talking about this. Maybe we're a little all over the place, but let's talk about something that's beautiful.
Let's talk about how Ben Affleck is the best on-screen ass-kicking Batman.
Ass-kicking, yes.
And I've said that, and if you disagree with me, comment on this clip on Instagram, and I'm going to tell you to eat dicks. Because
you're gonna eat that camera's off.
Fuck, I'm gonna go turn it up.
So,
it's okay.
So anyway, basically, it's a very well done movie. And like I said, one of the best things of the movie to me was Jesse Eisenberg and Zack Snyder's depiction of Lex Luthor and what he should be. I'm hoping to see more of Jesse Eisenberg, hopefully more Henry Cavill, and hopefully we get another Superman movie or something.
Hopefully more Batfleck.
I think there's going to be a high demand in 10 days for more stuff.
I think so, too. Fucking make your voices heard.
So, please. Like you said, the fighting... Oh, my God. The scene in the warehouse.
Yeah.
The crate to homie's dome.
Bro. Oh,
yeah, he just shoved someone's head in the floor like they were a fucking ostrich.
Dude. The extended cut version of Batman whooping ass in Batman vs. Superman is... Said it once, I'll say it again. Best on-screen ass-kicking Batman ever. If you disagree with me, eat my fucking shorts, as Bart Simpson would say.
And I would say that a big problem people that would probably disagree with you without even knowing why is because half of that fight is in the fucking trailer. But it doesn't make it any less cool.
And me and Graves were talking about this the other day. The Batman-Superman fight scene is also fucking awesome.
Yeah. When he's got, like, that face full of gas. And
it is a great... Also, another callback to the Dark Knight Returns. Yes, the sir. Suit. The fucking metal suit.
Yes, sir.
It is
beating the shit out of him, and then all of a sudden your punches just ain't fucking working no more.
It's all extremely fucking well done, and I think we gotta touch on this before we move off of this movie. Another thing that the internet and meme culture and everything fucking targeted, you know where I'm going, the Martha thing. Oh. Now, you and me were saying the other day that, once again, when that happened, we were both like, huh?
But
when you watch it again a few times, how smart that actually is.
Even if you don't, but see, that's the thing. If you don't watch it enough times, or if you just watch it the first time, it shouldn't be that you were influenced by fucking Twitter to say, oh, yeah, this is a fucking problem. Martha, the mother, blah, blah.
Well, I think
a lot of these people heard it from fucking someone else's complaints.
Well, I think that the first time you see the movie, like I said, I openly just admit it. The first time I saw the movie, I was like, huh?
Initially, it's like, that's the reason.
See, but I saw that part, and I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but
I get it, though. A lot of people when it's
hyped, yeah, but bro, when it's hyped up to be in the, but then when you really, if you take away, you dig a little deeper than just the surface level, it doesn't take a genius to figure out upon watching it again. It's putting emphasis on the fact that for the first time, no, there was no other way besides that Batman can say, oh shit, this guy's got a mother.
Yep, and this guy, he's
kind of human.
Yeah, and I have to save this woman now. Like, I have to stop this.
Yeah.
I have to stop. Morally, I can't continue this. This guy is telling the truth. This guy is a person. This guy is me.
And it just happens, and I'm going to shit on the internet real quick, and I'm going to shit on
shit
people.
On him.
Do
fucking,
it.
Fucking, oh my god, your subplot is that their moms have the same name.
It's deeper than that.
Pick up a comic book! For fuck's sake! Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Martha Kent is his fucking mom's name in the comic, and yes, Martha Wayne is Batman's mom name. Fuck!
So basically,
that's kind of fucking cool that nobody ever brought those two things into lighting before this movie.
Yes.
Like, they were fucking both. And that's the thing, though, too. Like, I say it all the time, John, you even know. Mother is the name for God in the eyes and hearts of all children.
Yeah.
It's from the fucking Crow. It's true. These motherfuckers, if there's anything that brings them back to, like, no responsibility and actually being happy, it's their mom.
So I guess we just get to the ending, and then we can very quickly go over the next movie. I mean, very quickly go over the next movie. But we get Darkseid. I mean, Botch. We get fucking...
Steppenwolf.
Why am I fucking...
Steppenwolf.
Yeah. And the fucking Doomsday.
Doomsday.
I'm sorry, I'm brain farting.
Oh,
all
yeah,
over here.
You're brain farting me.
Yeah.
Dawn of Justice.
We get Doomsday, we get Wonder Woman, and we get this big fight scene at the end of the movie. Now, here, I guess, is the thing that, as much as we like Batman vs. Superman, that everybody at this table can agree on.
Cramming?
Yep, cramming.
Here, let's do the death of Superman and Doomsday and all these other fucking things.
After we've only had the Henry Cavill Superman in one movie before this. I don't think I have
You
much...
could have killed him in Man of Steel 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
You could have,
Or you could have just waited a little fucking longer.
There's where we can say we openly like this movie, but there's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't think much more really needs, unless anybody has additional comments, I don't think much more needs to be said for this movie. It's a great movie with its flawed ending.
I mean, you could lead it into Justice League in the fact that, like, it kind of... sort of was the reason Justice League had a caca foundation.
Yeah, I mean, well, before we even get to Justice...
Because Superman's
dead. Let's hold on. We're getting off the path here. All right, so Batman vs. Superman, the final verdict here is, everybody could agree, that's a fucking damn good fucking superhero
good
movie. It might have things that we wanted, maybe it didn't live up to the hype in certain areas, but overall, that's a fucking...
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a good movie.
Bam. Now, we move on to, well, this one, actually, I think we could all say we did like.
Are you sure?
Well, what do we go into after we go...
A few months later, we get Suicide Squad.
Oh!
Oh my God! I fucking completely forgot about.
Yeah,
you want to know? I was almost. You want to know that I was in these
totally.
Little notes
yeah,
here?
I see them.
It's BVS and then WW because I skipped over. I swear.
But do
holy
you wanna,
fuck!
But do you want to know why you did that? It's
for
nothing.
The exact
it's nothing
reason.
Wrong with you, Graves.
For
it's
exactly the next 15 minutes, we're gonna
sucked.
Shit on it.
I don't even think we need to fucking 15.
There's only so much Will Smith can fucking do.
Listen, we don't need to spend more than 5 minutes on this thing, barely even that. Margot Robbie is the watching point of Suicide Squad. If you liked Will Smith as Deadshot, I'm not going to argue with you. I think Will Smith was entertaining.
He wasn't Deadshot, he was Will Smith, motherfucker.
Yeah, and he was Will Smith. There's not much that needs to be said about this thing. There's flaws everywhere. If you're trying to appeal to the average moviegoer or somebody who knows the basics of comic books, Enchantress is the wrong villain to pick for Suicide Squad.
I think they were going for half of the people that just knew bats and Batman have pointy ears.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep this short as possible. Here's my opinion on Suicide Squad. The plot should have been Harley Quinn is trying to fucking save the Joker and whatever the fuck, and these motherfuckers... should have stopped it. I don't fucking know. It was shit.
How about this? Dr. Hugo Strange is doing freaky fucking shock therapy experiments on the fucking inmates of Arkham. Suicide Squad has to stop it.
Yeah.
Because because he's making them crazier than they already are. And then, oh, all right, we got to stop them because we can't have, the U.S. government can't have this.
Yeah, this was our introduction to the Hot Topic Joker. I'm not saying anything bad about Jared Leto personally. That was what was written for him and designed for him. It's cocky.
I tried to like it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, I like 30 Seconds to Mars. I like Jared Leto. I want to like this.
Jared Leto, here's the thing about Jared Leto. Jared Leto is a fine, fine actor.
Yes, he is.
They cut him down to basically nothing.
Yeah.
And that version of the Joker called for a little bit too much ridiculousness in my taste.
Yeah.
Bullshit. I also think one thing personally or one character could have fixed that entire movie if you just gave him a good fucking 15 minutes.
Are he so intense?
Yeah, fucking.
Batman! They're all fucking
Batman
villains.
Well, you had Batman in the beginning. He punched this bitch in the fucking face underwater.
But he should have a little more to do with it in the sense that, like, not even if he's the fuck. Maybe there's, like, fucking.
Well, you could kind of imagine that maybe the government kind of wants to keep that away from Batman.
Yeah, that's what I...
You got to think, like Superman just died. A lot of shit is crazy.
Also got to think, what can the government keep away from Batman that he don't fucking... That he's above
But then again, in the end, remember, Batman does show up, and he's like, I want to know about these fucking...
Yeah.
These fucking freak metahuman team you made here.
So, all in all... Shit show. Thumbs down.
That's a shitty movie. We don't really need to fucking
cover
that.
Yeah, we don't
even
need to cover the rest of it. Hey, if you want to watch a good Suicide Squad movie, go on HBO Max and watch the two animated films.
Hey, maybe that's something you guys be like, hey, that's not how you fucking review movies and shit. You don't just fucking touch upon it for 2 minutes and then fucking... It sucked.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of time. We don't want to fucking waste any more time on Suicide Squad. I didn't even have it in my notes, in fact.
Yeah. Wonder Woman.
The first one was good.
Love it.
First one was good.
Love it.
Zero complaints.
Well,
about the first
CGI
one, me personally,
at the end,
the one complaint is the fact that it looked like your fucking neighbor Bob in a fucking medieval suit, and he grew about 10 feet tall. That was a little fucking weird. Choices.
Your neighbor Bob.
It's just like a fucking regular middle-aged man face.
Yeah.
Why didn't he grow a Viking beard or something? Like, I don't even, who the fuck is that guy even?
Yo, imagine they hired Gary Oldman for half of his roles and was just like, yo, just be Gary Oldman. No. Don't fucking, like...
But I don't even know what the fuck that was and whatever, but overall, Wonder Woman was a really fucking good movie.
I enjoy that movie a lot.
I don't think Gal Gadot is an incredible actress. But again, what do I always say? For certain roles, you don't need Shakespearean fucking experience to play it well.
Yeah, until you get to the fucking sequel, but yeah.
Yeah, I think...
We'll get to that, but let's not jump ahead here. Yeah. Don't give me fucking agita.
I think the movie was structured very well. I think it... From beginning, middle to end, I think it... I enjoy her performance a lot. I thought the action was great. Obviously, we have the fucking romance in between. But... I don't know. I all I can say about this is I really fucking liked it.
Honestly. I enjoyed Wonder Woman.
I didn't think Wonder Woman was a bad movie.
Yeah. But now we got to get. I think we could kind of like. I get it. We ran through this, but this is. So basically, even though in between we have a few arguments, also in Batman vs Superman, let's not forget, he finds out about the metahumans, which is Cyborg, Flash, and Aquaman.
Yeah.
They had no time to develop them in a movie. They did the ass backwards thing as what Marvel Studios would do. And they tried to give you this all in one shot before developing these characters, which they should have fucking thought about. At some point in between, we should add a Man of Steel 2, like you had mentioned. We should add Aquaman. Yeah. We should add the Flash. And if you needed to do it, you have a Cyborg movie.
Yeah, and the possibility of throwing a solo Batman in there. But like I said, we don't really need that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so,
you could have did what the Hulk does. Like,
the fuck does the Hulk have to do with anything?
Well, in the Marvel movies, the Hulk, while his own solo movies kind of suck.
But that's because they don't have the legal rights from the studio that owns it to make a fucking standalone Hulk movie. That's why he's like partnering up with people, and that's why he's only in Avengers.
So my question is, after Wonder Woman, we have Justice League. Do we want to wait to touch on that to the end of this episode, since we want to talk about being excited for the Snyder Cut, or do we want to talk about...
Well, I just want to talk about the simple fact that they could... Like, yeah, we should have got a Man of Steel 2, but somewhere in the middle here, they completely ignored to develop these fucking characters.
There should have been a Flash movie.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're taking it from my perspective, after Wonder Woman, the first thing that should have happened was a Flash movie, in my opinion.
Yes.
We should have went right to the Flash.
And the only thing I was bringing up with the Hulk thing was, even in the Flash movie, you could bring other characters like Cyborg. Not like crazy characters, but somebody like Cyborg, you could kind of make them part of another.
I don't know if we need a standalone Cyborg movie.
I don't know if we need fucking Stone Me Instagram. I don't think if we need Cyborg in the Justice League.
No.
I think it should have been Martian Manhunter, Oliver Queen, or the Green Lantern.
Or just.
And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I want to let you know something. And maybe I'm going to get a little touchy here. But I'm going to say this. If you sit there and go, but then you're excluding a black character from the team, there is a black lantern known as John Stewart. You could have easily cast a black actor and gave us the character we wanted, which is Green Lantern, who actually belongs in the Justice League and not Cyborg, but because of New 52 and DC's whole initiative about 10 years ago, we're going to sit there and introduce him into the Justice League, which he is not a fucking member of the Justice League. They're telling you in a revamped marketing campaign that he is.
Yeah.
But I get it. Money, money, money. If you wanted to have a black fucking superhero in...
Could've went with John Stewart.
You could have had John Stewart as the Green fucking Lantern. But whatever.
You could add 1,000 awesome casting choices for that, too.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to say this right now. Cyborg is not that fascinating of a character. That's my personal opinion.
I agree with you. Wait, really quick. We don't have to spend too much time on this.
Go for it.
If you were to cast an African-American actor to play the Green Lantern, who would it be?
I want to say...
I wonder if you and me are thinking...
I would say fucking like Michael B. Jordan.
Ooh.
But then again... What's the gentleman's name? This is terrible because... Hold on. Daniel... No, not Daniel Day-Lewis. He's white, you dumb fuck.
I'm fucking up.
Man. Fucking Daniel Kaluuya. What's his name? He was in Get Out. He's in this new movie now, Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. Though. Him. Yeah, He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
That dude is a fantastic... You could have got him to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then maybe tons of other fucking people I'm not thinking about. But if it's an issue of not having a black character, motherfucker, there you go.
You know who I think could play a perfect John Stewart, personally? Laz Alonso, and I know motherfuckers don't know him by that name, but he's in The Boys. He plays Mother's Milk or Marvin.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That dude is fan-fucking-tastic. I think he should be in, like,
I know my answer is gonna sound really basic, like extremely basic. I wonder if anybody even knows who I'm thinking right now. But I'd say, I know he played Electro already, but I'd say Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx could do it.
Played he could. Awesome.
I thought you were gonna say Wesley Snipes.
I just think Daniel Kaluuya is like a guy that's like really, really continues to make a name
awesome
for himself.
Movies, yeah.
So it's like, I feel like you could have easily a fucking like.
There should have been a lot of things done before we got into Justice League. There was no rush. This was a thing with Warner Brothers and DC where they saw Civil War and Spider-Man come in and they went premature cum shot. Yeah. And it failed.
And Justice League is something, now that we're moving on to the big granddaddy of them all, the long-awaited team-up movie. If you need a little insight on, for those that don't know, Justice League is a movie that they were trying to make for at least 20 years.
Yeah. There has been several versions of this thing tossed out.
Development hell. Army Hammer was supposed to play Batman. This person was supposed to play this person. Blah, 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 blah.
Army Hammer. Well, I think of when I think of Army Hammer is, I'm 6'2", I'm 250, and there's two of me. You remember from fucking Social Network?
No. I like good movies.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
So basically, it's like, they had to play a lot of catch-up because they decided to do their own thing.
Yeah, and then we get into, you know, Zack Snyder had a whole vision, and unfortunately, through the making of this movie, his daughter passes away, and the creative control is given to Josh Whedon.
So let's take a step back real quick. So like I said, we're going to definitely touch on all those fucking points, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Finally, we get to the point where these movies, Snyder, the Snyderverse, is being introduced to us. We know eventually it's going to culminate into Justice League. So finally, finds its way out of this development hell, gets a writer, gets a director, and people get cast. Here we go with the marketing and the promotion. Here we go with the trailer a whole year before the movie comes out, debuting in Comic-Con. Here we go with the hype train. The team up movie. The bar is Avengers. It's Avengers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which Avengers is one of the greatest superhero movies, if not one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
And if you want to really go into it, one of the best crossover events in cinematic history, because you got all these characters and they made it work.
Right. And they did it.
While they
couldn't figure out what the fuck they were going to do at Warner Brothers with Justice League, this fucking movie was making fucking millions.
Yeah.
Billions, almost.
So, and becoming one of the highest grossing movies of all fucking time. While these dunderheads over at Warner Brothers were trying to figure out how to get this thing out of the fucking development hell it was in for fucking 20 years.
Yeah.
So, Zack Snyder, of course, is attached as the director to continue his fucking vision, as you had said.
Yeah.
He gets through about 20%. Well, no, they used, from what I understand, 20% of what he filmed
was used, right?
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
At some point, as you said, unfortunately, he had a family tragedy and his young daughter.
Yeah,
committed suicide and passed away. Terrible series of events. From my understanding, a guy that's beloved with the people he works with and fucking is of this visionary and, you know, the studio, Warner Brothers, decide. And I can only imagine, you're going based off the success of this gentleman. Joss Whedon in pop culture is one of the top names. You're talking about a guy who created Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You're talking about a guy who wrote Toy Story. You're talking about a guy who has done endless things in pop culture that are fucking childhoods.
Yeah.
And, of course, he directed Avengers and Age of Ultron. Now, I'm going to just say they came up with the brilliant idea and said, well, we'll go with Josh Whedon and maybe we'll lighten up the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what Whedon does, and that's what Marvel does, and that's Marvel shtick. So let's try to get that flavor.
Yeah.
He comes in, and for the lack of a better term, derails the whole fucking picture to complete and total fucking trash.
Shit. Yeah, it's shit.
Now, I was working at a movie theater at the time when this came out. I came in one day. I had a day off the day that it came out. The next day I'm in, and my buddy who was working there with me went, yo, you gonna stay for Justice League tonight? And I said, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. He says, it's trash. I said, no, it can't be. He's going, nah, it's not trash, but it's not good. And I'm going, all right, I gotta make up my own mind.
Yeah.
I sat through that entire movie, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I tried so fucking hard
to like really it. Like, to
like
it.
That you movie. Try,
fucking CGI mustache. Fucking... I know it seems like a little thing. To
no, it's not no, a little it thing. No,
it really
no.
ain't. Because his whole dialogue is off because you're not even fucking listening. You're just looking.
When you have an up-close shot of your star.
Yeah, the star.
He looks like he just did some crazy ass coke.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, fucking like, ah, lockjaw fucked up looking. That kind of fucks it up.
Yeah.
He looks like that guy in the club who's been blasting all fucking night. Yeah. He's blasting all fucking night, and he comes up trying to get he's trying to buy the girl a drink.
He looked like he was doing kryptonite cocaine.
Bro, he's trying to buy a fucking... he's that guy.
I would have rathered him have a mustache.
Yeah. I think it's just like while he was growing up.
Here's the thing. Who is stupider? I want to try to draw this line on this show.
Okay.
Is it Paramount Pictures for not... Now, he was contractually... this is true. He was the villain in Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Yes.
He was contractually obligated to keep the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
But how come Paramount couldn't figure faux mustache, spirit glue? It will look... You're not buying a mustache. Wait a minute. Hold on. You're not buying a mustache from Jimmy's Joke Shop. It's Hollywood. You can get an awesome-looking real mustache and have somebody spirit glue it to your lip so you get, because you know these two scheduling conflicts are going to...
intertwine.
It's going to become a scheduling conflict.
I have...
Hire this man, Hollywood.
I have spirit glue. You can cut some of your own hair and throw it on somebody's... Like, I just don't... 100% I agree with you. How hard is it to just use something that has been used for fucking decades?
Rob Zombie has said this 1,000 times. He goes, if there's one thing I hate, it's a bad wig.
Mm.
Because what the fuck? If you're in a movie, how many wigs can you really go through? Like, obviously, that's the director's problem.
In the time we live in, when you're talking about movies with $300 million budgets...
and dinosaurs that look real 10, 15 years ago.
You can't figure that maybe the least of your problems would be a fake fucking mustache. So does that land on Paramount? Or does that land on Warner Brothers for not reshooting the shit when he had no mustache?
Yeah.
I think it lands on Warner Brothers, to be honest with you, because they... I just think Paramount has as high of a track.
I'm going to go when it lands on... Paramount.
It lands on Paramount.
I respectfully disagree.
Shit.
I respectfully disagree. I think, like you said,
it lands on Paramount.
$300 million budget, whatever the fuck.
You got a $300 million budget. You can't. You got Tom Cruise.
You know he's going to be
You
Superman.
Got Tom Cruise flying around in a fucking helicopter, jumping from building to building, fucking shirt, like, and you could not put a fake mustache on this gentleman.
Yeah.
But then again, now, maybe they couldn't do reshoots because I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, we don't know about the crazy.
We don't know how close the schedules, because look, they're on a timeline.
Yeah.
We got to get the movie out by the end of the year. Maybe they didn't have time to reshoot. But then again, no, that's stupid too, because you had time to go in with CGI and and it is
that
mustache.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Maybe it lands on both.
Yeah.
But like, how did they even CGI his mustache? He wasn't wearing like a fucking a motion capture mask.
That's not how that works, though. They can go in and superimpose a lip.
Yeah,
they can make it.
Who'd they have do that? The guy that does the fucking the graphic designing for fucking Geico?
The CGI team. I'm not sure what company they used, but whoever they were didn't do a very good job.
I got another bone to pick with Justice League 2, and I've said this a lot, and it's more of a story flaw. In my opinion, a big story flaw. Once again, we try to say, like, if you're DC, you want to try to appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say I've read 1,000 DC comic books in my life, because I haven't. I didn't know who the fuck Steppenwolf was until I got in this movie.
Because he's not, you know what? Because he's a character from the early 70s that was not very popular.
So my big thing, like, is basically, why was the show, like, the sole choice? I know we're going to get it next week, but why was the sole choice not Darkseid? Like, fuck, man. Like, if you want to appeal to the average person, like, dude, even if you don't read DC Comics that much, I'm pretty sure if you would have went, Darkseid's the villain in Justice League, somebody would go, oh. You know what I'm saying?
I guess this is where my Warner Brothers hate comes from, though, too, is because it's like, people get their hands on shit.
You get the point I'm trying to make, though, right? Like, if somebody would have went, it's Bizarro. I know that's a stupid villain for the Justice League, but you would have went, oh.
If you were to not cut out Darkseid from the movie, you could have had him in his lair, sending the parademons and Steppenwolf out to the world.
Yeah.
But gone back to him every so often to be like, what is the status report? And blah, blah, blah.
Like to almost set up.
Almost like.
Kind of like in the fucking Warriors.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Or, Guardians
of the. Where Thanos is there, so you're developing Thanos?
Yeah, because you're like, oh shit, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going far back with the Warriors by just being like, oh, they made it by the Turnbull ACs. With the girl and the fucking, just her lips are there. Like, you could do some shit where it's basically the side of Darkseid's face, and he's just like, well,
unleash this
fucking, I don't know what I mean?
I think that was a gigantic fuck-up creatively. Like, you want this movie to do well and appeal very hard, and you chose probably the most... I'll go out on a limb. Feel free to disagree. Probably the most unknown DC villain.
Yeah, probably.
You dug that deep.
Oh, let me go into the Legion of Doom and go
and
out.
And you expected
the fucking
people
character.
To hear that and care. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
they made it as if you were never going to see Darkseid.
Yeah.
Or they made it as if you knew who Steppenwolf was, like he
because
was Dr. Doom.
The only inkling you ever get is fucking parademons and then the Omega sign in the nightmare scene.
Yeah.
That's the closest you get to any inkling of Dark. Yeah. Oh, they mentioned Darkseid once.
Yeah.
That they say the word Darkseid.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be in this fucking movie.
I think also, too, what it has to do is that you use the word parademons, you know where they're coming from. Or at least the people, they put a little too much emphasis on the
fact
that
certain
people.
Yeah, but even at the end of Avengers, you see that Loki failed, and then you see fucking Thanos be like, you know. Or,
yeah, that's
and then
exactly
Age
what I'm
of
saying.
Ultron,
like,
fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
It was time to develop this motherfucker. And
even
if you
you're
didn't
not gonna
know
have
him,
25
and
movies.
If you didn't know him, allow the fucking people who make the movies to develop him for you and tell you who this fucker is. He's the upcoming threat.
Yeah, man.
Now, if you look, Kevin Smith, one time, when the world was normal.
Yeah.
But he still does a podcast with a guy by the name of Mark Bernardin.
Yeah, it was called Fat Man on Batman.
Yeah.
It is now called Fat
Man Beyond. And then they would do it from the bar in L.A. called Scum and Villainy.
Yeah, which, please, when the world opens back up, we gotta go.
I'd like to go over there.
Yeah.
Then again, L.A. is Scum and Villainy. First of all, that place, L.A. is a total scum hole, but hopefully one day that could change. But anyway, somebody say, yeah, that's easy for you to say, you live in New York. But anyway, my point is here, it's like, he had notes that, and read them off, of what this movie was supposed to be. And let me tell you something, based on the trailers we've seen alone of the Snyder Cut, he was reading you that movie.
Yeah. And...
And he was going the whole time going, why the fuck didn't they do this?
Yeah, I watched that episode.
Yeah, you've seen that. Yeah.
And he goes, why didn't they do... Yeah. I mean, I'm beyond excited for what we're going to see in about 10 days. Beyond, it's probably the most excited I've been for a movie in a very long time. But Josh Whedon, man, you spread your cheeks and took a nice steaming diarrhea.
He made a lot of he made a lot of awkward jokes that didn't need to be
there. Oh, this
there.
Is another gripe we have. Batman? Why is Batman throwing one-liners? Like, he doesn't throw a lot of them, but even just the two or three, I'm like, eh. Oh, this may be a little comedic or whatever, but it's I need to point this out because I thought of it this morning on my way to work. Every Batman movie, for the most part, there is not a crazy side story, but he has a side romance for the most part. Yo, Batfleck? Is Batfleck, like, just not eating box?
I think Batfleck's just not that horny anymore.
Yeah, I think he's not fucking.
No, I don't think he's fucking.
I think he's fucking. I just don't think that he's,
emotionally invested in
Nah, fucking. Not at all.
Well, we don't know what Catwoman looks like in this universe.
Ah, yeah.
Maybe she let herself go.
Yeah. Like in The Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where she's a fat prostitute.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
See? Motherfucker.
But I just wanted to point that out real quick, that my man Batfleck wasn't slaying Poon in the movie, but it's all right. He wasn't getting coochie. But maybe he was.
So...
Well, Gal Gadot was like, yo, your camera went off.
That's okay.
Another thing that's odd to me is... You know the scene where they have to... Where they're commissioned to go grave rob?
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Once he comes back and he says that.
Yeah.
But that is the most, like... first of all, you have a super fast guy and a robot digging with shovels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you and me would dig a 6-foot hole.
Yeah.
What? Because it was Josh Whedon's little witty cute way of having them interact with each other. Hey, I guess we're the mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when he goes to fist bump him?
Yeah.
And there's that awkward moment and he goes, oh, okay, racial tension. What the fuck does that mean? What does that mean? What the fuck does that even fucking... Why are you putting that there?
Yeah.
It was an awkward... weird fucking scene that did not need to fucking happen, and I hope they changed it in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Holy fuck, man. It's so awkward.
Yeah, dude.
I guess we're the accidents. I guess we are.
I think that word is the best way to describe that version of the Justice League. Awkward.
Awkward.
It is an awkward movie.
Yeah.
It is... I'm trying to, like, before we move on, like, is there anything positive we can say about that?
No, you want to know another negative?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll give you another negative. And I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. Batman has had a lot of wacky devices.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of wacky vehicles. Let's get down. We got some time. This is our goddamn show. We got some time.
Yeah, we have time.
To a little... vehicle that I guess they wanted to market as a toy. I don't know what their idea was behind this. It's called, and I hope this is not in this fucking movie. Maybe it is. I don't know.
But you hope it ain't.
I'm hoping it's not. It's a little fucking vehicle called the Nightcrawler.
Cool name.
Awesome. Very Batman-like.
Yeah. Bad delivery.
Bad delivery. Almost as bad as his sound effects.
Yeah.
Fucking bro.
Like you said, Batman's supposed to be smart.
Batman is supposed to be smart and equipped with things that
prepare him
for the situation he is in. Do you know who says what are we under right now? I believe it's Aquaman. And he goes, Gotham Harbor. I'm not in a submarine. Or something that can turn into a submarine. But I mean something that can crawl up walls when we are in a tunnel that on top of it is water. What do you know? The wall cracks.
Fucked.
the wall cracks, and it's the only time in the entire movie Aquaman gets to use his water powers.
Yeah.
The guy who is the fastest hurt his ankle or some shit. So they need to help him to the Nightcrawler. While Aquaman, a good excuse to use his water powers because there's not a single body of water in the final battle.
Yeah.
So he's just dry.
Clint Hansen's just chilling.
He's just dry dogging it.
Yeah.
He's dry dogging it. He's flying through the air just dry dogging. Okay? Bro, you want to talk about shark repellent? He was ready.
He had it.
Yeah. Why the fuck did he not have a submarine?
Yeah.
And so he's stopping the water while they get the fastest guy with the bum ankle into the Nightcrawler, where they hopelessly crawl this piece of shit. It looks horrible. It's a big mechanical spider. What's baddie about that? Yeah. I mean, I guess what's baddie about a fucking... But you, I don't know. You never know. You gotta be in water sometimes. You gotta get across the fucking harbor and you need some water. You need something with a fucking... With a submarine, motor, like, yeah, like what the fuck, like a Ski-Doo or something. What in the fuck are you doing with this thing? It's the stupidest fucking scene. And then, like I said, it was literally an excuse
to use Aquaman's powers.
Yeah.
When there was no body of water at all, not even a, you're telling me in this little fucking town in Russia there wasn't at least a fucking lake?
Yeah.
What in the fuck?
I also think the cyborg, side note, completely useless in this movie. Like, we talked about, like, him not needing to be there, but he's it would be different if he did some shit.
It's just the fact that he was, like, part mother box.
Yeah, he doesn't do dick.
And if you listen to what Zack Snyder is saying about this movie, he does at least elaborate on the fact that they're going to tell you the cyborg story right this time.
Yeah.
They're going to go a little more in depth with him, and he's going to play a little bit more of a role.
Yeah.
Please,
because in the original, when you just see a fucking big box of, like, just nine dimensions turn into a fucking half-cybernetic dude,
it's a little weird. I watched an interview with him the other day, and that's what he was saying. He was like, yeah, there's going to be a little more in regards to Cyborg, and because I feel like they cut a lot of his shit out as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You were supposed to get more of his story, and then you were supposed to get more of the Flash's story.
Yeah.
Because here's what this was supposed to be. This is what I remember reading years ago. It was going to be Justice League Part 1, and then exactly a calendar year later, Justice League Part 2.
Yeah.
That's what it should have been. From
and that is what we'll be getting in 10 days.
Thank the Lord. Excited. I hope...
Allow this gentleman to right the fucking wrongs. Have faith that they gave him the $70 million to touch up the movie and give you the fucking vision that he had intended to give you the first time around.
Yeah, I'm...
That's enough money.
I'm also very excited that we haven't got too much trailer for this
movie.
Good.
Good. Because it's 4 hours. Show us little tidbits.
The only thing I'll say that looks kind of eh is like, yeah, Steppenwolf is made out of like fucking 975... pieces of bicarbonate steel. That must be fucking comfortable when he turns his head. You get what I mean? Every aspect of Steppenwolf now looks sharp.
Yeah, but do you remember what he looked like in the first movie?
Oh, he looked terrible.
In comparison to how they redid him?
Yeah, I think...
Yeah.
I'm just excited, in general, for more story and for Zack Snyder's vision to come to life, because what we got was a hunk of shit.
What the press fucking told us...
Yeah.
What the press told us and what all these fucking sites told us is they told us that he dropped out of the project because of his daughter's suicide, which, okay.
This is extremely understandable.
But it's actually not true, because from what I've read is apparently he showed them cuts of what he wanted, and Warner Brothers watched like 3 cuts and went, nah, we don't really like that. They pushed him out, bro.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. They pushed him out. Yeah, they said, oh, I think we like the direction. We're getting a little more lighthearted, and I think we like the direction we're going in. They tampered with it and pushed him out.
Yeah.
They lied to you.
And they didn't even know what the fuck they were doing, half of those motherfuckers, to begin with.
And I believe the lighthearted comment 1,000%, because if you look at everything that comes after Justice League, it is very much lighthearted. It's... you know, I don't think we have to, like, crazy go into it, but, like, you have Aquaman. We've all only seen this movie once, right?
Yeah.
Bits and pieces.
I've seen the whole thing. I've seen it in theaters.
I remember coming out of the theater saying, I liked that, but, like, it's not my favorite movie, but I enjoyed it. It's Jason Momoa kicking ass.
Yeah. And admittedly, I'll say this right now, I did not see Shazam.
Yeah. So
me neither.
I liked Aquaman. I did see Shazam. I have made this comment. Nobody else has. I've made the comment that I went into this zero expectations. I was in South Carolina. I had to catch a flight back home. I had 4 hours to kill. And there was a movie theater in the fucking mall next to the airport. And I went, fuck it. I'm going to go see it. And the same way I felt about Guardians is the way I felt about this. I didn't know anything about Guardians going into it. Didn't watch a trailer. My uncle just took me to see it, and I came out of the movie theater going, holy shit, I fucking like that movie. An hour and a half into Shazam, I was like, yo. I didn't expect to like that movie. That was a good fucking movie.
I'll still check that out. Oh, we forgot one that we didn't cover, and we kind of went ass backwards here, but what the fuck does it matter? You're following us. Can we just talk about how... And agree to disagree.
Okay.
I'm going to come out and say this on the fucking podcast. You had fucking Wonder Woman, which was fine. What the fuck was Wonder Woman 1984?
We're also forgetting another movie, but we can talk about that.
I spent that entire fucking movie...
Texting Chris, right?
Texting with Chris and making fun of it. Because it's horrible.
It is way too long.
It's way too long. There's no fucking point.
There's no reason that movie should be 2.5 hours.
No.
At all.
No.
I have openly, like, talking to you guys, I've said I really like the fucking fight scene in the White House.
Yeah, that's cool.
That scene was cool. I think the fight scene with Cheetah was way too short.
Yeah.
I think the love story, this guy coming back and shit.
Her losing her powers because of this.
That's my big problem. With the movie he's just like there to fucking just hold her back. Why are you there, Chris Pine?
I think I boil the movie down to get rid of the side love story. The whole movie should have been focused on Cheetah and everything fucking else. It was nowhere close to near as good as Wonder Woman 1 at all.
Nah, at all.
It's way too fucking long. But we're forgetting one movie.
What's that?
Birds of Prey.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I don't hate it.
I haven't seen it, but I heard that I think it's better than Suicide Squad.
Yes.
I think it's a fun movie.
Yes.
Is that a good way to describe it?
It's kind of like female Deadpool.
I was going to say that.
In a way. Mm-hmm. She's got that inner monologue, yeah. Ferris Bueller kind of thing, yeah. And then it's like... But there was enough there. Like you said, it's a fun movie. It's a colorful, fun movie, and there's enough. And I just like Margot Robbie.
Yeah,
She's gorgeous. I think she's a great actress. Yeah. And I like her as Harley Quinn.
She's perfect.
I think she gets the fucking job done.
Perfect. I thought that movie was fun to watch. Like, you could sit down, and if you don't try to be a movie critic while you watch it, you could just be like, yo, this is a fun movie to watch if I'm drinking a few beers and I'm bored on a fucking Wednesday night. But, my one gripe with it was, like, Black Canary was, like, not Black Canary.
No.
Yeah, like, I've openly spoke about what a big Arrow fan I am.
Yeah, you're a guy that really loves these characters specifically,
And when I started watching Arrow, I dug deeper into the other characters to teach myself.
Right.
That's not the Black Canary.
Right.
No disrespect to the actress. I thought she was great, creative-wise, on that part.
And I like Rosie Perez, too, and Rosie Perez was in it. It's always nice to see Rosie Perez.
Hell yeah. But, other than that, I mean, what we have...
Ewan McGregor.
Oh.
Was fucking Black Mask.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking cool.
I mean, we have other movies in between here, but they're not a part of the extended universe that we're talking about. We don't have to go crazy into it, but Joker was dope, but that has nothing to do with the story arc that we're covering.
But it's still a movie that they have produced in the last few years. That was great.
And upcoming, we do have another Suicide Squad. I'm unsure if this is taking place after the shit show we saw, or if this is just them going... kind of like doing, you know, like how they had Wolverine, and then they were like, forget about that.
Here's a revamp thing.
So I think that's what they're doing. I think they're like, hey, forget about that.
I'm looking forward to it.
John Cena is a peacemaker.
John Cena, man.
For whatever reason, Pete Davidson is in this. I don't know who he's playing. But I'm excited. Will Smith isn't Deadshot, but the guy they have looks badass, though. I forgot his name.
Is it Idris Elba?
It might be. I think so.
Is it? I forgot.
But
fantastic actor.
But I'm excited for the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
But all in all, guys, you're going to get a part two, and it is basically going to be us
seeing
after we have seen the Snyder Cut, about how we felt about it. All in all, I have high hopes. I'm excited.
As am I.
Thoroughly fucking excited. And if you're listening to this still, fucking your voices can be heard. So if everybody winds up liking this, bombard the fucking internet like you did the first time and beg for more Batman Ben Affleck.
And Henry Cavill, fucking
Zack
Superman.
Snyder.
Zack Snyderverse, baby.
Fucking push that shit, because if you push it enough, you're gonna force the hand.
Yeah.
Hey, man, wrestling fans forced Daniel Bryan into the main event of WrestleMania. And we forced the Zack Snyder cut.
Bro, sometimes when the fan demand is so high.
Yeah.
Look at Sonic the Hedgehog.
There you go, motherfucker. Perfect example. Sonic the fucking Hedgehog. That motherfucker looked frightening.
Yes.
It was a haunting little guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went back and they fixed it up because people were unsatisfied. So, what the fuck is he doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can fucking make a difference, as corny as that may sound.
So, basically, my thing of this is I'm completely ready to just pizza, snacks, beer, whatever the fuck I need.
Sit in my room next Thursday.
No fucking cell phone.
Yep.
No interruptions unless I gotta pause it and take a piss. That's what's fucking happening. That is my March 18th.
Yep.
That is, and that's the bottom fucking line.
Because Stone Cold says.
I don't think they're bullshitting us.
I don't think.
I believe in this gentleman. I believed in everything he's been doing. I believe in his vision. I believe in what they've done. I believe in what he said was going to happen. I believe they fucked him. I believe it's all the stories we're hearing are true. I believe it. It's Josh Whedon is apparently an asshole too, but that's all of the story.
Yeah.
But he's another one of those Hollywood fucko types. But I believe they fucked him. They tampered with his movie. A lot of these people do not care about these stories.
No.
Do not care about these characters. They care about the scratch it's going to make and what kind of box office hit it's going to be. Sometimes you got to stay. Look, you could tweak and do this for the sake of a fucking major motion picture, but you got to stay true. You got to tell the proper story.
Yeah.
And trust the fucking process.
Yeah.
Trust the vision.
Yeah.
I believe in Zack Snyder.
I believe in the Snyder Cut. Yep.
I believe in this 4-hour extravaganza we're going to get.
I'm fucking excited. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get a part two to this, and I'm very fucking excited. I might even, if you follow the show, I did a thing called Wasted Wednesday once when I watched Trick or Treat, and I got extremely fucked up and just filmed my reaction through the entire movie. I won't get too trashed, but I might do a Thirsty Thursday and just have a camera on me the whole time I fucking watched the first 2 hours of this.
Don't spoil nothing, motherfucker.
No, I won't spoil it for anybody. I'll wait a few days to post it.
Yeah, don't put it out until the podcast is out.
Yeah, I won't put it out until, like, the following Thursday.
Yeah, we don't want no spoiler shit for the people.
So, I am contemplating doing that again because there were a few of my friends that were like, yo, that thing you did with Trick or Treat, you should do it again. So, I might do it with this movie.
So, basically, I just wanted to say, like, this fucking shit, bro, is, like, a huge fucking deal for anybody who fucking was expecting to fucking see something and they didn't get it.
Facts.
This fucking shit, man, is like, I'm just excited. I don't even have words. I'm just fucking excited. I think they're gonna fucking do this shit fucking justice, no pun intended.
Same, yeah. I'm excited. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the drill.
Few more things, though.
Go ahead.
You gotta plug some shit here.
Oh yeah, but
we can't just talk about these money making motherfuckers in Hollywood.
Oh yeah, I was leaning into plugging.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
You
I was
sure?
actually going to say something.
All right, go for it. Motherfucker, take it.
Before I do the plug, I did just want to say this. It has been 5 years of the audio version of the show, so I'm not going to spend a crazy amount of time, but I just do want to say from the bottom of my heart, if you've been listening since then, since we were just on SoundCloud to now being on Apple and Spotify, thank you very, very much for listening to the first incarnations of the show up until right now. I started it in 2017. We're in 2021. Thank you very much. Please, we have a shitload of cool stuff on YouTube and very different stuff we've been doing. You gotta go check out Asylum Action News because you need to know the news of what is going on in the Asylumverse with Mr. Jack Cummings and Mr. Salmonella. Emo Tim, I don't know what this motherfucker wants from us.
I don't know what the fuck's going on here.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
He's scary.
But me and Graves are on the job.
I think he's watched Edward Scissorhands too many times or some shit. I don't know what the fuck is up with this weird freak.
I don't know. I think he's listened to the Black Parade too many times. I think he gets some Tim Burton DVDs out of his house or
But how emo is he?
Yeah.
I think he's a little more straightforward and ballsy than we think.
Yeah, dude, I think he's putting up a facade.
Yeah, I think he's putting up a little fucking...
I don't think he wants to be punished.
No. I think he wants to lay down the punishment. Well, let me tell you something, buddy.
Yeah.
There is no threat to this earth that me and the interdimensional champion sitting across from me...
Hell yeah.
...cannot fucking handle.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't already, go check out the new Emo Tim video. Go check out Dare Pong 13. Go check out the latest edition of the news and all the other great stuff on our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe, ladies and gentlemen.
Like and
Please
subscribe.
Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. I will figure out the Spotify problem, I promise. And take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And if you're not down with that, I got two words for you. Buff. Beef.
Like and subscribe. See you later.